Well, it's that time again, Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Firefall Talk Radio on Spreaker.com. Reflections in the Dark, where we get together to take a reflections in the dark look at what's going on in the world, in the news, current events, media, all those things from a supernatural or paranormal perspective, whatever your word of choice is. I'm Richard Grund. Welcome. Joe is looping in. He's looping his way in from another galaxy far, far away, and hopefully he'll make it here soon. When he does, I will bring him on the air. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. For those of you who have supported us, I want to just apologize for the delays in getting the videos done. You know, when I started out doing the 5-minute reflection on YouTube, it was a weekly thing, and then we had a couple of hiccups, and I've been kind of down with some kind of bug for the last week or so. So I'm hoping to get back on track this week. Life just seems to get in the way, doesn't it? Also want to apologize. There have been many plans over the time that we've been here that have either not happened yet or had to be set aside. And maybe I was remiss in sharing them. I was just trying to keep you guys involved, keep you a part of it. We consider you our friends and family in this endeavor. And I was reviewing it last night as I laid awake, because kind of hard to sleep when you can't breathe. And just began to, I don't know if it was my mind or if it was an attack of the enemy, suddenly reviewing all the things I haven't done. Things I still want to do, things I think and believe are of the Lord, but it's always in the fullness of time and it's His time. But I just want to apologize if anybody's been disappointed or you feel let down. Hang in there. It's not over. The race is not done. The other thing that has kind of slowed things down a little bit, I was kind of hoping Joe would be here for this part, is I've become a little dismayed with the fringe element that's out there and some of the information that's being promoted and the people that are getting the accolades and even the financial support. And you look at some of the nonsense that's being presented for the sake of interest or filling airtime or whatever. And now in the race to beat people to headlines or news stories, they're not even vetting their sources. They're just running with it and then either backtracking or circling back. And the whole concept of what we do here, we've been doing this now for 5.5 years, going on 6. We're one of the longest ones out there consistently. It's become very discouraging. And there are times you wonder, why do we keep going? And then I remember you guys. And that's why we keep going. Because you still listen, you still care, you still want to know, and I'm thankful for that. I am appreciative of each and every one of you. So that's my apology. That's my personal note to you. If you have any questions, you can go to supernaturalresponse.net, which is SRT's place to reach us, and to firefalltalkradio.com. It is officially 48 days until spring. And although I live in Florida and that's not that big a deal, it's been a little chilly of late, which is probably why I'm a little under the weather. We got a new puppy, and sometimes the puppy has to go out in the middle of the night or early in the morning, and it's easy to catch a chill, but I will be glad for spring to be here. And that also means if you're a baseball fan, it's almost time for the national pastime. Pitchers and catchers report to spring training on February 18th, and that's always, for me, as a lifelong baseball Yankee fan, it's an exciting time. There's something about it. I don't know. It just reminds you of your youth and those things. So there's something to look forward to. Better weather, better times as the world spirals out of control. Wait, that didn't end on the high note that I hoped that it would. So let's just stick with spring and baseball. And, of course, next week is the Super Bowl. And not a fan. Well, wait, let's see. Can we get him in here? Is that Joe Citrone? Oh, my goodness. It is Joe Citrone, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see what happened here. Where'd you go? Hold on. I know. Yeah, this is kind of why you need to test drive everything before you get going. Just never goes the way you want it to. I don't even know what I did.
Hello?
I gotcha.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. He is looped in from an alternate reality. Just goes to show we can get it done if we just keep pressing buttons. If we just keep flipping to whatever, something will go right.
How many times can we loop through the fringe? It's like the X-Files. This show, for all these years, Richard, has been an X-File. I mean, think about all the times where we wanted to speak paranormal and play an EVP, the show crashes. Or we're talking about conspiracies and, you know, the Illuminati, and then the show crashes. I mean, you can't time these things any better. You know that there is that supernatural interference that is always messing things up. But yet, that's been a statement and a staple of Reflections in the Dark. It would not be Reflections in the Dark if we did not have something supernatural happen.
Yeah, I mean, some of this could be technical, but we've done this before, so there really was no reason for it. I don't know. Luckily, you got there early enough, and folks forgive us. I was just talking of it's 48 days until spring and all that other stuff, but how are you? It's been a while since you've been here.
Well, first and foremost, I will say that I have missed being on Reflections in the Dark. I've missed being in the whole loop with Firefall Talk Radio. So it's very good to be on. Number two, in New England right now, we've had some snow. We had some crazy weather, but for the most part, very mild. I mean, here we are going into February, and it was basically 60 degrees today. And that is huge for February, because last year we had 44 inches of snow between January and February. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And of course, obviously, starting a new job, I had to do some training for the past month in New York. So it made it tough to do the show, you know, from leaving and traveling and all that stuff. But it's been busy. It's been good. It's been fun. And it's just good to be back into the routine of life again, and just kind of doing everything all over again, and above all, not being on Reflections in the Dark in so long. So it's good to be here. I like it. And I just want to do a shout out to, first of all, thank our listening audience as always, but a shout out to the Carolina Panthers, because I do believe, Richard, this is their year. It's been something special with them all year long. I felt it, but I really feel it now. The Peyton Manning going against Cam Newton, I think it's going to be a great game. But ultimately, I think Carolina is the team this year.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. That's what everybody thinks. That's what the betting line is. You just never know. It seemed to me,
right,
from watching the playoffs last week, although the Patriots did not play well, it just seemed like the NFL wanted Peyton to get his last hurrah. They wanted better ratings and all that kind of stuff, because the Patriots did not get a lot of the calls they normally get. They almost came back in the second half, but it's going to be the old retiring broken-down quarterback and the new young and up-and-coming Superman, if you will, because that's what he thinks he is. But you just never know.
I will say this, though. Yeah. I want to say this. I just got to say this quickly about what you said about Denver, and I'm just thinking about it now as you're talking. We take everything that happened with the Patriots, and you got to remember, this is a team that started off 10-0 this year. They looked like they were unstoppable, even with all the injuries that Brady, that they overcame with Gronk being out, Edelman, all that stuff. So we know that. It was Denver that actually beat them on that Sunday night game in the snow, and that's when New England went 10-1, and they did it without Peyton Manning. So everybody's thinking, okay, you know what? It was one of those games Denver won. Obviously, if they ever meet again in the playoffs, then New England's going to spank them. That's how everybody's thinking. Then New England all of a sudden starts losing games and then losing the last game to Miami, which ultimately set up Denver from getting home field advantage in the playoffs because it was really that New England was going to. Now New England goes to Denver, and Denver does it again with Manning. I think if what makes this Super Bowl a good Super Bowl, because you have Cam Newton, but I think with Denver, you've got the aging quarterback. You've got a team that they didn't expect to finish as the top seed in the AFC, and they did, Denver. And their defense has pretty much carried them throughout all season.
Right.
So I don't know if I would shoot down Denver to be destroyed in this game as much as I thought of over the past week. I think it might be a lot closer, but I think it's really a matter of youth and all the weapons that Carolina has.
Well, but see, that's the other side of the coin. Playing in the Super Bowl is an experience that, if you're new to it, you usually don't do well. So we'll see. Carolina's young. Not too many of them have been there before. Some have. But, you know, there's a couple of guys. The guy on the offensive line that they did the movie about, Michael Orr, who was with Baltimore. So he's been to one. There are some people on there, so it should be interesting. But you know what else is back? The X-Files is back.
I love it. I'm happy. I am happy with the X-Files. I've been an X-Files fan for many years, and I know it goes contrary a lot to SRT. In certain ways, it doesn't, because, you know, I look at what SRT does and getting cases and things that pop up and investigating and doing stuff, almost kind of like an X-Files type of thing, that we assess a case, we either take it or we don't take it, but we have to look into it. So we could be considered almost, you know, running on that same thing and you know, with the conspiracy theories and all that other stuff. But it's good to see those guys. It's good after all these years. I think, what, they were 9 seasons of the X-Files, and in the last 2 seasons, it wasn't really that good. So it's good to make them, you know, to have them make that comeback. A little bit older, as you can tell.
Right.
But they still look good. It's still the X-Files, and it's just one of those shows, Richard, for me with the X-Files, when it first came out, it was a big thing. You're like, wow, you got paranormal, you know, FBI agents, but they're almost like paranormal investigators, technically. You got your skeptic, and then have your person that wants to believe. And it was such a big thing what Chris Carter, you know, did the first 2-3 seasons of the X-Files, and sticking to that one theme. And it's good. I'm definitely glad that the show is here for what? They're doing 6 episodes in a mini?
Yeah, they're doing a 6-episode miniseries, but they're already saying that they may do more. And I think they should. What's interesting to me is this, is when it first came on, they told stories that were new and fresh. And at the beginning of the show, you missed the part where I talked about some of the delays and some of the things that we've not gotten around to doing. Part of that's been because I've gotten a little discouraged or disgusted by the whole fringe element that's going on out there right now and some of the stuff that people consider information. But the X-Files did that in the beginning. They told stories that nobody else had heard before. They made you think. You go back and look at it now, and it's from the 90s, and you go, wow, how did they know that? How did they know that? And one of the behind-the-scenes featurettes on YouTube, Chris Carter says that after the first couple of episodes, he got visited by the FBI, and they said to him, where are you getting this information? And he's like, well, I'm making it up. And he goes, well, and they didn't believe him, but eventually they did believe him, that, and they became friends with him. But the truth is out there, and he was telling stuff that we now know, instead of being conspiracy theory, has become conspiracy fact.
I totally agree with that. the thing that, that is really cool about the X-Files and what I found out, you had even said it too, you know, years ago when we had this conversation, you know, they stuck to that theme, you know, in the first few seasons, and they kind of got off of that. And then it became like a variety show. I mean, every week, it,
right, the monster there was, of the week.
Right. There was no connection anymore, so to speak. But once in a while, they would run back to the whole alien thing with his sister and stuff like that. But it developed such a cult following and such a fan base. And I think it was more with just Fox and Dana together that people just love those guys. And they love the fact of their relationship because, you know, they cared about one another. But they never really showed it, you know, like people wanted to see. So there was so many different buildups and there's so many different things with this show. And to bring back the show now, you know, all these years later, it's good. It's good because it brings back those memories, too, of where it all began with the paranormal stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, the paranormal stuff and, you know, the, what we see on TV was really in the 2000s, you know. But when you start talking about the alien stuff and things like that, what the X-Files brought and has just been something that opened a lot of eyes and probably aggravated a lot of people too, you know, on the inside of things. So it's good. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Quickly to switch on the X-Files. I don't know if you have this already as a topic because I'm bouncing all over the place because it's so good to be talking on the radio again.
Bing, I feel bing, like, Rick and
yeah,
Jay
like,
Rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah, like, because I love it. It's like I haven't been able to talk in like a month. So I'm all over the place. Just these rabbit trails are just. <they're> just
Uh-oh.
I can't stand it, man. So I don't know if you're going to talk about this show Lucifer or not.
We can. We had mentioned it last time, but it's been on. I haven't talked about it since it actually came on. I did not see it.
I could tell you this quick. It's really simple. Take a detective guy type of guy who's helping fighting crime and is able to use his powers to catch the bad guy, so to speak. And even though he's still the devil and does things and there's certain moments where he shows who he is and it's freaky and it's scary or whatever the case is, it's really where people want to say, you know something? You leave the show saying, man, if this was a real situation, the devil's not a bad guy.
There you go.
That's exactly what it is.
There you go. It's sympathy. That was what I said in one of the shows. It was, you know, it's the song Sympathy for the Devil. And that's what it is. In fact, a bunch of other people think the same things, and they've written blogs and letters, and it's definitely let's make the devil look good. He's cool, and the whole misrepresentation of hell and where he is and what he can do. I don't know how popular it is. I haven't seen the ratings, but the point is that Fox has spent a lot of money to do this, and. You know, I was about to say before you brought that up, and it kind of ties into it, is the timing of the X-Files. Because people have been asking about this for a while. And then Duchovny and Gillian Anderson have been going to the conventions, and the fan base has grown. Like, you know, they'll fill these seating halls of 10,000 people. And so is the timing of the return of the X-Files, does it have to do with the dissemination of misinformation to get us to the point that we accept certain things? Because the theme now is the truth is still out there after all, but it's a manipulated truth. It's a alien human conspiracy of man-made events using alien technology. And as I watched the first two episodes, and I know the storylines for the next four. I don't know if Carter's had these in his background, in his files, or he's pulled them off the internet, but they are going to go to the alien-human hybrid. They won't call them Nephilim, of course, or maybe they will, I don't know. But they're going to talk about the birth of the child that they had, which had alien DNA. This is going in a direction, I think, I've not seen them, I think it's going in a direction that when it's done, we're going to look at this as a setup for something, some kind of release of information, which if you saw it on the SRT Facebook page, the CIA did this document dump of all of their information about UFOs during the 40s and the 60s. And actually, I did not know the CIA had a Twitter account. Did you? I mean, of all things, CIA, clandestine organization, is on social media. There's something wrong about that. But on their Twitter account, Flying Saucers of Soviets, tips on how to investigate a UFO. Are you ready for this? One, establish a group to investigate or evaluate sightings. Two, determine the objectives of your investigation. Three, consult with experts. Four, create a reporting system to organize incoming cases. Five, eliminate false positives. Six, develop methodology to identify common aircraft or other aerial phenomenon often mistaken for UFOs. Seven, examine witness documentation. Eight, conduct controlled experiments. Nine, gather and test physical and forensic evidence. And 10, discourage false reporting. This is from a verified account for the CIA. And then they released the documents. And if you're interested on those UFO documents, I will post it on the SRT Facebook page. And I looked at them, and it's from the 40s through the 60s. And these are real cases. And the timing of the X-Files, the timing of the release, everything that we know what's going on in the world, this just seems orchestrated to me.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, too. If we're thinking about how to introduce this whole alien thing again, because remember this, too. For the past two, three, 4 years, maybe, well, I'll say 3 years, we've always talked about reoccurring themes. What is going to be the theme of that year, you know? And we go into what's the zombie thing, and then we go into the aliens, and then we go into the vampires and the werewolves. Now it's come back full circle again. And what other way, as you were saying, basically, to introduce that whole alien gospel with a different flavor, instead of throwing out shows like Ancient Aliens and things like that, why not throw the two best people that the world received, and that was the characters of Dana and Fox Mulder on the X-Files. What a perfect introduction of 2016 to have these guys at the forefront again. I believe it is something that is going to prepare the way of what's going to come, because I truly feel, and you've talked about it, and we've both agreed anyway, eventually these beings have to make themselves known. We know that the fallen are going to show themselves. We always try to figure out, you know, how are they going to do it? How is it going to come? Which way are they going to come at you? How are they going to disguise themselves? And they can disguise themselves in many different things. You know, Vampire Diaries, all the shows that are on, they come at you in different characters and different forms, but we know it all comes down to the same thing. Greek gods, anything like that, Egyptian gods. But I really believe for it to work, it's going to come through aliens. It's going to come through visitors out there that are going to protect us and save humanity. And I don't think there's anything better than to bring the X-Files to start this year off and take the show Lucifer and put that in the equation too. So you've got aliens and you have Lucifer. You can see exactly where it's going. Lucifer is a good guy, sort of, basically, you know. So do the fallen show up as good people? Absolutely. And the world might not think so much as Lucifer being the devil as the Bible portrays him, because he can say, look, that is a false gospel. Yeah. That's not who I am.
Yeah, and the youth, if you look, take example of the TV show Supernatural, which it's ridiculous. The writing is awful. They're still on the air, and the CW president said they can stay on as long as the two of them want to do it. And the kids who follow that, we know that they go to the conventions and it's tens of thousands. And they have this humongous following. So we take the following for Supernatural. We take the following for the X-Files. Some of them have now had their own kids. Their kids are now 10 years old. There's this slow drip, drip, drip indoctrination to where you get guys like us who say, well, these are either fallen angels or demons, and no, they're not good, and B, we're here to stop them. The people will stop us. They won't want them stopped. We've listened to people with cases who, when we tell them, well, we'll make it go away or we'll put them back where they belong, oh, I don't want that. I just want to know who they are and why they're here, and no, that's rude, and you can't be, you know, mean to these people. And I'm like, what? What? And you don't realize that there are possibly millions of people out there that see these things as good because TV or movies have told them so. We've talked about the movie that's coming out, The Gods of Egypt, the same thing. Horus is good. He's a hero. And all of this stuff there's a new show, it's really not good, called Legends of Tomorrow. And two of the main characters are reincarnated people from Egypt. And it's just one thing after another. And then I read this today, and I did not even know this, that in March on ABC, there's going to be a rendition of the stories of Saul and David from 1 and 2 Samuel in the Bible. And the series, it's a series called Of Kings and Prophets. I didn't even know this, that ABC is doing an actual television series about the book of 1 and 2 Samuel called Of Kings and Prophets. It's written, coincidentally enough, by the same two men who wrote Ridley Scott's Exodus, Gods and Kings. And the previews are being seen by people, and it's filled with sex and sexuality and graphic nudity, even though it's on a supposedly family-friendly TV station coming on Tuesday nights after Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm like, what? They're doing a TV series based upon the Bible, and they're picking two books, of course, that have some really wild, sordid stories of David and Bathsheba and Saul and all the stuff that went on, and they're just going to lay it all out there in explicit content. Uh-oh. Did I lose you? Nope, it says you're still there. But anyway, if you don't know about it, the executive producer, his name is Chris Brancato. And, of course, he's saying they will edit some of the stuff out that people have seen. But the explicit content can be seen on the internet or online streaming like Netflix and things like that. I'm sorry. And let me just read you his quote for the sake of being accurate. The love story is essential to the pilot story, and I'm wondering, probably it's David and Bathsheba, but I'm not sure. We were seeking in that scene to suggest the pent-up passion and sexuality between these two characters. There is no discussion about trying to add more sex or violence. For the simple sake of doing so, we're trying to tell the story that is in 1 and 2 Samuel, which has plenty of sex and violence on its own. Now, I have a Bible here. If I open it to 1 and 2 Samuel, I understand that people got together, but I don't see any graphic description. I don't hear anything about panting and groaning and all this other stuff. We do know that Bathsheba took a bath on the rooftop naked, and David saw it, and we know the troubles that it caused. But I don't personally think you need to be voyeuristic and crass while trying to be real.
Well, first of all, I will tell you this. I was trying to talk when you says, uh-oh, did I lose him? And then you said I was there. I forgot it was on mute. So
you're out of practice. We'll give you that one. You're at, right. It's been a while.
But, you know, you say something interesting, too, when you talk about, like, the Bible, because you have these shows that are coming out. And you're going to see more and more series that are going to take books of the Bible, which we're already seeing that happen now. I still can't help but wonder, are they going to – is anybody going to touch or create and expand upon their own version of Adam and Eve? Now, we talked about the whole Paradise Lost thing, and it looked like it, there might have been a, you know, a movie that they were going to do, and I think it was Heath Ledger that was supposed to be in it or something like that. I'm not sure. I think it was – he was casted for that or a possibility.
Yeah,
it's
been floating around. Supposedly it's on a back burner somewhere.
Right. So now I wonder if they're going to do that now. Are they going to – when will that come out? Because I think that the show Lucifer's that's out is going to open up a floodgate of more movies and shows that are going to show the bad as being good. And I wouldn't think of a better story to take – with that concept, but America's version of Adam and Eve.
I wouldn't be surprised. I just read 2 days ago that Clive Barker is rebooting Hellraiser and bringing back the original Pinhead, which if I'm not telling anybody to go watch the original Hellraiser because it's pretty graphic and it's pretty out there, and now with the effects we have now. But that was essentially a view into hell. And they're rebooting it.
The thing with Hellraiser, I remember seeing that when it came out. Clive Barker, although I do believe he's a great writer as far as being that descriptive guy, I don't really necessarily like the topics that he talks about or writes about. But I found Hellraiser to be disturbing.
It was very disturbing.
On many, many levels. The concept, the cube, you know, the killing the, you know, bringing that body and the blood regenerating and then taking the skin. And, you know, I mean, obviously we don't have to go graphic into details of what it was all about. And then to have that girl go in basically hell in another dimension. To almost where she tried to work out a deal with one of the demons, I believe, which was Pinhead. I think it was something like that, you know. That was so crazy. So I say to myself, let's fast forward to now. Here we are, 2016. What do you do with Hellraiser that hasn't been done? I don't know if they can capture that disturbingness. How much more graphic could you make it where it's too much? You know, these rebooting of these movies. And I read another article that led me to believe that they were going to try to even redo The Exorcist, which I think would be stupid.
They're doing it as a TV series.
Oh, my goodness. How do you do that as a TV series?
A lot of green pea soup. I don't know. But the Hellraiser, thing,
soup.
I remember when we rented it and we saw it, of course, as a video. That's how long ago it was.
Right.
And when they ripped the skin off of that body and the guy was still alive, I sat there with my mouth open and actually frozen because we'd never seen anything like that before and the depravity of it. And it was disturbing and... I've never watched it again since because of how much it disturbed me. And I've always thought Clive Barker, between that and the breed, the stories he does tells me either he's demonically possessed or he has a hook into the underworld. Because the stories he's getting are too real and too accurate and too on point. And to redo this now with the technology that we have, the kids have been dumbed down. And they're gonna pull out all the stops. American Horror Story is a TV show, and some of the stuff we see in that show were in the movies back in the Hellraiser days, so they're really going to have to push the envelope. And I don't think there's anything that's going to stop them from doing it. They can just put it on Netflix or Amazon or stream it as a series, and there are no rules. Who's going to tell them no? You know, it's just, you look at all this, whether it's, and the X-Files is tame compared to what we're talking about.
Right.
But the X-Files, you know, looping, circling back to that, the concept that they're going for is, yes, all of the stuff was true, but there was a malevolent human hand behind it. And I'm curious as to where they're going to go with that. They kind of abruptly stopped. And if you haven't seen the pilot episode, I'm going to blow some stuff here. But the Alex Jones guy from the internet, who was really wealthy and who wanted to expose everything, suddenly his thing's off the internet. He's gone. You don't hear from him again. They take the girl who is a witness to everything out of the equation, and boom, abruptly, they're removed by this government conspiracy. And you look at that, and this wasn't what I was planning, but segues right into it. There's some things going on in the news that I hate to sound overly conspiratorial, but even non-conspiracy people are getting it. And regardless of your political position, and I have none, I don't belong to any parties, and watching the assault and the effort by mainstream media and the two parties to get rid of Donald Trump. I was discussing this with somebody the other day. Whether you like him or not, he has shaken the cages of the power brokers, and they are afraid of him because he has his own money. So unless they stop the flow of his money, the only other choice to keep him from moving forward is to take him out. Now, whether they'll do that or not, I don't know. But mainstream media, even Fox News, which is supposed to be conservative, is in on the game to tear him down, to diminish him, to do whatever. And just like us, people are waking up. People are waking up to the fact that they're being manipulated by the politicians, they're being manipulated by the government, and they're especially being manipulated by the media, and they're angry about it. And that was my little note here about between Trump and politics all the time. Real stories are being ignored while you read story after story after story about Donald Trump and Megyn Kelly and Glenn Beck and all these people that are just talking heads on TV. And it's a distraction. Mainstream media is involved in the process, and they promote the candidate of their choice for us to choose. But in 2016, what we watched in the last two elections, it's imploding, if you understand what I mean. All of that's imploding.
Excuse me. I think what's happening politically, and I want to ask you this question because usually at the end of the show, I ask you this crazy question. Sometimes I know the answer. Sometimes I like to hear your take on it. What's happening politically right now in the world? The whole Donald Trump thing, everything that's going on. Some of it just seems like a joke. And I say to myself, maybe it's because, you know, we're in the United States and we're Americans and we have a way of, I don't know, making things light of certain things and joking around. And, you know, when you go through all these debates and you bashing one another and you're doing all these crazy things, and then you have all the other countries around. And I wonder when they elect a president and when they have candidates, does it ever seem to be made into a media hype thing, or do they hold that more sacred because in their world and in their life, in their country, it's a powerful position to handle, to have. All that being said, But what you see coming up right now, would Obama be the lesser evil of what's to come in the United States as far as what's going to happen with presidency and going forward? I'm not saying that Obama has done a lot of things that people didn't like, but I just wonder on a ratio, how bad was he compared to what we could be in for with what we have now running?
Well, that would be like asking, who's the worst train conductor? The one who sent it hurtling towards its end or the one who's driving when it crashes? And that's what I think is happening. This thing is going to crash. I don't think they can stop it. The only thing a person like Trump might do while being the bull in the China shop and upsetting some people, he's a businessman, and certain things will get fixed, but there's too many things broken. The ship is sinking, and you can only do so much. But you know, the first part of your question is nobody else does this. Canada, with the guy that they just elected, who's a former model, former actor, he kind of used the media to do what he's doing. But America, the land of the Kardashians and Kanye West and people like that, we appear to be idiots to the rest of the world, and rightfully so. You look at how many debates do you have to have before you know what somebody's opinion is? And then they have debates that are obviously, I don't want to say staged, but they're setups to get them fighting with one. It's about ratings. It's about selling commercial time. It's about making money. This isn't just straight, well, this is your question, what's your answer, or let's go to the next one. No, it's become entertainment. When do we turn it into an athletic competition? And, okay, our speakers will now be racing around the block, and whoever gets to the podium first gets to speak. I don't think we're too far off of that if this even continues. So wherever this is going, I believe that we're in the final ticks of the clock. I could be proven wrong. We could get some reprieve. I don't know how we could. We're so disjointed. We're so angry. There's so much going on in this country, like the Oregon ranchers dispute that finally cost somebody their life the other day. And I talked about this. I don't think you were there because it was back in the beginning of the month, that the Oregon ranchers dispute would become the Waco of our time. And almost immediately, the authorities and the FBI said, well, we don't want this to become Waco. Well, they were right. They didn't let it become Waco because the man that got shot and some believe executed the other day, it was done away from cameras and prying eyes and witnesses except the FBI drone footage, which they released to quell the criticism and conspiracy theories, and all it did was make things worse. But if you don't remember, back at the beginning of the month, some patriots went into the Malheur Wildlife Refuge in Birds, Oregon, federal building, way off the road, pretty far back, to protest what the Bureau of Land Management was doing to the ranchers and to two local ranchers that were railroaded and put in jail. And this became a rallying cry for the against the government and all that other stuff. And I want to tread carefully here because I don't want to hear a knock on my door. Well, it won't be a knock. It'll be my front door splintering. So I'm just going to state the facts. The Bureau of Land Management is a federal government agency that has been taking land away from American citizens and ranchers who have owned their land for generations, who are suddenly being told, oh, by the way, you never should have been able to get a deed for this property. You no longer own your land. The government does. And as of right now, the Bureau of Land Management owns 80% of Nevada, approximately half of California, Utah, Oregon, Idaho, Arizona, and New Mexico. It owns 42% of Wyoming, 36% of Colorado, and 30% of Washington and Montana. Now, what? First of all, the government, according to the Constitution, is not supposed to own land. But They do. Why would the government be buying up all of this land? My opinion is to force people into the cities, to shut down the whole prepping and refuge concept. But here you have these people, handful of people. They weren't dangerous. They were not in a crowded area. This wasn't Baltimore where they were destroying stores and ruining people's livelihoods. The other day, Robert Lavoie Finicum, 56 years old, died when the FBI cut off the car that he and seven other people were in. And he got out of the car, hands raised. I've seen the FBI drone footage. He wasn't reaching for anything. He got shot, reached down to where he got shot, and then he got shot again. The footage also shows that that car was fired upon before it came to a stop, even though it had three women in it. And this was Waco, but without the cameras and without the news footage. And here's why it bothers me. Maybe those guys shouldn't have done what they did. There was no reason to execute this man unless you wanted to make an example out of him.
Now, this is a question that is probably a no-brainer. Could the elections, you know, like say who you have running for candidate, be so bad that people feel that the world is going to be in more of a crisis, whoever is elected?
Yes.
Is there a time where they can say, you know what, it's best to keep Obama in?
Well, they can't do that constitutionally, even though he has repeatedly made comments that people would probably accept the third term. No, they won't. If he says anything about paperwork for a third term because there's no viable candidate or the candidate, we are on the verge, and I'm not promoting this, but it's my opinion, we are on the verge of civil war. Mm-hmm. People are so agitated and so angry right now. Getting back to Trump, there are things I like about him. There are things I don't like about him. I like the fact that he says what all of us are thinking. I don't like the fact that sometimes he shouldn't say what all of us are thinking. There's a time and a place. But he's going to speak, and there are thousands of people that can't get in. This is a man that has touched the pulse of something that I don't know if it's good, I don't know if it's bad, but tying together the unrest in this country, racially, politically, economically, this thing out in the West that even a Nevada State Assemblywoman, Shelley Shelton from District 10, although she doesn't have the power to do so, she's begging for somebody to step into the situation and examine what really happened. A man lost his life. He was not armed. He had no gun in his hand. He was shot multiple times. Multiple people in the truck, the SUV, were shot. They weren't doing anything except going to a meeting where law enforcement was present, that the FBI could have met them there to arrest them peaceably, but they did not do that, in my opinion, because there would have been witnesses and there would have been cameras. They wanted to control the narrative. They really didn't do very well at that, but we now live in a country, in my opinion, now this is just me, we live in a country that frees terrorists and arrests and shoots ranchers, takes their land, and they make an example out of anyone who stands up. Well, isn't this a country that was founded and created by people that stood up to tyranny? If we did the revolution and the Tea Party, the Boston Tea Party, the real one, and Paul Revere, and we did the signing of the Declaration in 2016, but didn't tell people what it was a story of. Let's say we changed the locations, we changed the time. Oh, those people should be arrested. They're defying the government. What they're doing is wrong. They're not obeying the letter of the law of the land. Wait a second, that's the only reason America's here. Because a group of people said, hey, this is wrong, and we're willing to die for the fact that we will not be tread upon. That's what that flag with the serpent says, don't tread on me. Well, that's what that's about. We're there again. Unfortunately now for us, unlike it was for then, getting back to the Illuminati, which was present in America and the whole Masonic Lodge and all that other stuff, they're much more powerful now. Our government is much more powerful than they've ever been before. So here we are, 2016. I don't know if you know this, folks, and this is how we're going to end the show. We're going to go over to make up for all the problems with the phone. On December 17th, 2015, House Resolution 569 was entered into record to be voted upon by Representative Donald S. Beyer, Democrat from Virginia, with 115 co-sponsors, all Democrat. And this is the resolution. It's pretty short. It's a resolution that will make it law for it to be a crime to criticize Islam or Muslims. Let me say that again. If this resolution passes and it becomes law, somebody like Bill Maher, who I'm not a fan of on HBO, but is constantly pounding the facts about Islamic terrorism, he could be arrested. Because any hate speech criticism of the culture or anything else will be a crime. Now they're entering it into record to say that Muslims are the foundation of the fabric culturally and economically of this country. That's not true. They were not here at the beginning. But won't matter because it will be a law. So even here on the show, I say some things that point a negative spotlight on some of the things that ISIS has done. We won't be able to say that anymore. That's America. That's America 2016.
And that's scary. And that's scary when we see where we're going and how we're going forward in the world and what's happening. Our days are numbered. I've come to that conclusion that our days are numbered. And it makes what we do here at Reflections in the Dark even more important to be able to get that information out there as much as we can and hope that our listeners will retain, you know, maybe not everything, although they do have the archive shows to listen to. But at least we can get that message across to make one or two people just stop and think and say, wait a minute, there is something not right here. And we have to tie this back to not just what's happening politically in the world and worldly and earthly, but also supernaturally. And if you can tie the both together or see how they are tied in together, then it makes more sense why we're in the state that we're in.
Well, what that does, it takes us back to the X-Files. And I don't mean that to be cute or funny. I'm serious. That's what Mulder is doing. Mulder's quest is to expose the truth that people aren't seeing or hearing because it's being controlled by the government through the FBI and other agencies and by the media. So essentially, we are living an X-File.
Wow.
Is that crazy or what?
That is crazy. And what's even crazier is you can take the character of Mulder and you can times that by how many people in the world are a Mulder character and how many people in the world are a Scully. That's more of a skeptic. And you can see the balance, but you could also see the confusion. And you could also see where it's difficult to gain any ground because you've had, well, obviously now Scully has all changed, but the concept was the believer, the skeptic, the government. I look at it as the believer, the skeptic, the fallen. That's exactly where
absolutely,
we're at.
Absolutely. And the Scully character, I was thinking about it. She's the skeptic because she doesn't want to believe that this is the truth. Mulder's already said, hey, everything you guys just talked about on Reflections in the Dark is all true.
Right.
The Scully person says, I believe it could be true, but I don't want it to be true, therefore I don't want to believe.
Right.
And right. as with time and the character we see on the show, she's forced to believe, and that's what's happening to people that have followed us for 5.5 years and at the beginning didn't believe or weren't sure, and now they're going, hey, I get it. I'm awake. I'm paying attention. But is it too late? You know, I don't know. I'm going to keep doing this as long as they let us. And if we can't do it on the internet, if they shut that down, I'll figure out shortwave and satellite, and we'll figure it out. But I don't know. The clock's ticking, and we're almost out of time. So closing thoughts, looping Joe Citrone.
Closing thoughts right off the bat. Very good to be here, be back on the show, be back into a rhythm again. Closing thoughts for the show as we have tonight. I would have to say this. Pay attention more. Wake up in 2016. That's our whole motto. Wake up. Wake up to what's going on. Watch the X-Files. Compare notes, what we're talking about with shows like the X-Files. I don't endorse watching Lucifer at all. But take a look at it and see where we're going. See where the world is going right now. It's very, we're in a dark place right now. And we are going to continue to shine that light here on Reflections in the Dark. And I hope that we can continue to do that.
Yeah, well, it is good to have you back. It is good to hear your voice and also to keep me from having to talk all the time. And oh, it's always fun.
Listen, I listened to the show. I just want you to know I listened to the Archive show. And I last week that you played. And I started laughing exactly when you said that because I just said, I wonder what he's thinking. How is he going to continue to talk for an hour? But he does. You do it. You make it through somehow, some way.
Somehow, some way. There's always, you know, all you have to do is rev it up and get a rant going. But it's good to be here, folks. A lot of craziness. Pay attention to politics. I don't know what's going to be here come November. Well, who knows? But we'll talk about it week to week, and we'll try to keep you posted. I'll post a link for the CIA Freedom of Information, information on UFOs, and, of course, it's dark out there, and we will leave the light on. On behalf of Joe Citrone at SRT, I'm Richard Grund. This has been Reflections in the Dark.